Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
It was like he was in a movie. We appreciate it more, I think, than most people, because it's so old school. It's so in your face.
The spike of the ball at first base.
Oh, every time I see a video now, because there's a lot of clips from those 80s teams, you know, it was one of the best until this last World Series with the Dodgers in 25, which was an unbelievable World Series. I said, that's going to go into the archives with the 80 World Series, who were a little biased, but that's one of the greatest World Series of all time. But whenever I see those clips and I see Pete spiking the ball,
it's great.
I can't smile any bigger, and people don't know why I'm smiling. I'm like, I can't even start to explain it to you.
And how the ball funny always, Booney, the ball always went right back to the dirt on the pitching mound. I don't know how in the hell he did it, no matter where he was.
With the skull cap underneath the hat, just
always
to keep it formed.
Just grabbing on like a helmet. Oh my God. I remember one night, Booney, he was just a manager, and we're sitting in his office, and he's putting his spikes on. And I looked at him, I said, Pops, really? You're going with the spikes? He goes, just in case. I said, just in case what? He looked at me, he goes, well, just in case I got to get in. I said, Dad, you got a pullover on. You only have a jersey on, but better yet, you're retired. So he used to do his routine to a manager. I mean, Jim Leland, him and my pops, managing in spikes.
Bobby Cox,
hey, but no uniform top, pullover, always a pullover, spikes on, but little stuff like that. I mean, for I don't know how many years I had the Brett Boone tribute, left blinker was out every time I went to the plate and hit.
For what? Petey would text me all the time, and that's what he kind of was my mantra for him was, you always got that back pocket out when you're hitting. What's up with that? It was a question. And then it became, left blinker's
out.
I'll tell you what I thought about Pete, and we grew up very similarly, and we've been asked ad nauseum, especially in our childhood, well, what's it like, you know, big shoes to fill, whatever. But you're always asked this. You live such a special life growing up as a kid, such a special childhood. And I always get the question, who is your favorite player? You know, every kid has a favorite player. I didn't. I said, you know what? I didn't have a favorite player because I went to the yard and one day it was Pete and the next day it was Schmitty and the next day it was Tug and the next day I was helping Manny Trio shoe polish his glove. I said, I didn't have Bull. I didn't have a favorite. I loved them all. But when pressed on the question, I said, but I'll give you this. I said, if there was one, I look at my dad on how to be a professional. He taught me a lot. I said, but if you want to talk about the epitome of once you put the uniform on, once the anthem's over, how you go about your business, Pete Rose is it. I said, I don't know if any before or since has done what Pete, how Pete played the game. And the thing that I think separated it, it's a simple, I've got it down to this in my mind on Pete Rose. What separated him from everybody else? I never got 5 hits in a game in my entire big league career. I got a ton of 4 hit games. And I'll tell you, when you're 4-for-4 and sitting in the dugout and your team's winning 10-2, you're feeling pretty good.
Yeah. Like,
pretty good day, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then I get up that 5th at bat. And I don't get a hit. And I go 4-for-5. I still feel pretty damn good. And when I try to explain what was Pete Rose like, I said, if Pete's got 4, it's important to get 5. And if he doesn't get 5, he's going to be pissed. I said, I think that truly separates him from everybody else. I mean, that's not going to ruin his night. But it's kind of going to ruin it. Like, I should have had that 5th hit.
Right.
And that's what I, when I try to explain Pete in a nutshell, that's the difference between him and pretty much anyone else that I've been around that's ever played this game at the big league level.
Yeah, you're right, man. It's just, and that's what it was instilled in me was, you play it like it's your last. Now, I didn't do that like Dad, obviously, and nobody did, but he took it to the extreme. Like it was, you know, and it goes from every little, like, I'm so thankful I had to play Pepper every day of my life. And I hated Pepper every day of my life. But you know what? I had to throw him strikes, and you know, he's working on hands, you know, fielding the ground ball. Then you're working on your throwing. And when you play catch with him, you got to hit him in the chest. You know, I'll give you one for you. And I don't even know if you know this, but you may, but it was the night that he broke the record. And you know this, that, so me and Pops always walked out together. The tunnels were at Philly. We always walked out together. We always walked back together. So we walk out, just a normal night, no big deal. He's one hit, he's tied, so he's going to break it. So Old Riverfront, you got the two entrances, the one down by the bat rack. So he would stop, put his helmet and bats, or put his helmet up, put his bats in, because, you know, he always carried his bats. Remember the two bat baggie he used to take on the bus all the time in spring training. But he put his bats in, put his helmet. I'd grab a ball out of the umpire's bag, go down there and sit, and then he'd do whatever, look up and give me the nod. So then we'd go out and play catch. So he gives me the nod and we go out to play catch. Place absolutely goes crazy. I mean, it's September 11th, 85, and everybody's there. They see Rose 14. So I go to throw, and he's not out there. So I'm out there by myself now. Now I'm nervous because I'm like, these people are cheering for me, at least in my mind. I got Rose 14 on my back. They all of them think it's my dad. So there, it's a standing ovation. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So then he steps out of the dugout. Brett, the volume goes up by tenfold. So he walks out and he gives me the nod to let it loose. So the first one, here it comes. I airmail it probably 25 feet over his head. He must have knew this was going to happen because he had another ball in his back pocket. And you know, when he gets past, he gives you that hard throw. So then he takes the ball and throws it. I catch it. I'm like, oh my God, I can't. So I go. Now this one's back in here. I'm choking it. I throw about a 15 footer and he just calls the whole thing off. Bounce it, goes in the thing. Now I'm more devastated because you can't not hit my dad in the chest, because if you do, that's it. It's like hitting it's like when you first get in the cage, if you hit the top of the cage and you don't hit 10 line drives from midway point down to the left side, we're done. So I'm devastated. Plus it's the night. So I'm down sitting by myself and I'm sitting down like this, and he comes down. And Brett, I swear to God, this must have been one of the nastiest things anybody can do, but it's the greatest. He comes down, he puts his arm around me. He said, "Hey, I just wanted you to feel like what it's like to play in front of 80,000 people. Keep your head up. See you tomorrow." And he just kind of went about his business. And I just kind of came up and I'm like, holy shit, did that really just happen? But it's another teaching moment that he wanted me to be out there in front of 80,000 people. So when I had the chance to play, like, you know, in September, I wasn't nervous. And sure enough, it's like, he was always teaching, whether he was teaching or not teaching. It was crazy. But like that, and it's like, you just made me airmail one and short hop one. Then you come down and just tell me you did it on purpose. Just wanted you to feel what it was like in front of 80,000 people. Like, really, Pops, really? But my head was up, and then, you know what? The rest was history. But little things like that, man, it separated him. Like, it's how he used to teach. And listen, I don't know if eight was like Pops, but he never slumped. So he wasn't a really good teacher, but with the things he taught as I got older, they really made sense. And they were better than anybody has ever taught me, especially on the hitting side. Like, he would always tell me to stay down, stay under the ceiling. And what the hell does that mean, Pops? Stay under the ceiling. And I remember my son was still in a high chair and he came over and we were watching the 75 series. He goes right here. And he hits a line drive to left field, and then you just see him stay down, stay down, stay down. Ball's out. Then he comes up. I'm like, boom, there it is. From that point on, it everything started to make a lot of sense. But just like the little teaching moments, I mean, God, like playing Pepper, paying attention. I remember, you know, they used to tell us, hey, if you want to sit on the bench, you got to pay attention. So I attribute that to, that's why we paid attention when we played as much, because, you know, Dad, hey, the game's going to tell you what to do. You just got to listen. You got to pay attention. You know, I remember, hey, you're going to sit in the dugout. You better pay attention. You know, just little things like that. You know what I mean? But it was awesome, brother. I mean, it was the way me and you grew. I like, How about Richie Hebner fly balls in spring training?
Hacker hitting them straight up.
Do you remember how, and I used to get so mad because you'd sit there and fucking go behind your back and catch him. And I'd be like, how? And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going to try this, but if Dad sees me do this, I'm done.
Oh yeah. Pete'll get mad at me for doing it.
Right. Right. Yeah. But I remember Hack hitting them a mile high. And it was just like, we kept telling, I think he hit us like 25 to 30 fly balls in one day at Jack Russell down the right field line.
Yeah.
Just like and then we go to where we stay, Indian Rocks Beach. You'd either come over, I'd go over. You know, I remember the little lake you had at your place in Philly when I spent the night when me, you, Arnie, and Little Bull, they had that little like diving board out in the middle of the lake deal at your place in Philly.
Oh, yeah, in Medford. Yeah.
In Medford. Absolutely. I remember like all that stuff. Going to the ballpark, I mean, playing down by the cage, man. I mean, and
Philly, you know, Fanatic.
Oh my God. Dance Party USA, brother. Dance Party USA. God. I just all, and then, you know, I was sitting here thinking before it came on, I'm like, I never really thought about this, but the coolest thing for me is I got to share my big league debut not only with my dad, my mom, my family, you, Aaron, Eduardo Perez.
Yeah.
And the sucky part is my dad wasn't allowed to come down to the clubhouse after the game. I couldn't put Pops on the pass list. A lot of people don't know that. But my dad, like, came down to the clubhouse signing balls. I had to meet my dad right outside the double doors, you know, after the game. But I remember I got to share that with you. I mean, I remember you calming me down. I remember Eddie calming me down. I don't think Aaron was there yet. Aaron was later. He came, I think, a week later because they were in the playoffs in Indianapolis. But to have you guys there, it was like a dream. It's like it came full circle, man. And I just thought about that. I'm like, that's some cool stuff, man. Like for
and I remember me and Eddie, you got a knock in the hole.
Yeah, your first right. Yeah. I had a dream on the bus going to Jacksonville. I hit a double down the line and I was going to slide head first in the second. And Jeff King caught it by that much or it would have been doubled down the line. Yeah, I remember. I remember it was like yesterday. I was sitting there on the rail and he walked in. I looked right at Eddie Perez. I said, Darth Vader's here. And I felt him. And sure enough, the crowd started going crazy. And here we go.
Yeah, right. I remember your debut. Your dad was sitting right behind the on-deck circle. Because I remember I hadn't seen Pete in a while. And I went over and I said hi to him before the game. I said, you nervous? He goes, he looked at me. I said, you nervous for Petey? And he kind of gave me that look like, you kidding me? No, let's go. He had the big glasses on. You talk about dad giving you lessons. And you're right. He was very subtle. Him and my dad, very different people. Completely different. Loved each other, respected each other a ton. But they're oil and water.
Yes.
And Dad will tell this story. He told this story to me and he was in awe. I said, Pops, what about Pete? He goes, Brett, I'll tell you a story about Pete. He said, when he first signed with the Phillies, it was a big deal. He's coming over from the Big Red Machine, signed a big deal, was kind of the guy they brought in to lead this Philly team to a World Series. He ended up doing it. But at that time, you guys were going through personal family things.
Yeah.
Especially with him and your mom.
Yep.
My dad said, Brett, I wake up every day and the head, you know, back this is before phones and the internet. So everything was a newspaper. He goes, Pete's on the cover of the newspaper. His private life is just spewed out. He's going through all this mess behind the scenes, family wise. And he goes, and this guy's going out and getting hits every night. He goes, I don't know how he does it. He said, so I asked him, I said, Pete, you're going through this messy divorce. Your laundry's on the front page of the Inquirer every morning. And this is so Pete. He goes, I just want to know, how are you getting two hits every night? And he goes, calls him Bobby. He goes, Bobby, let me tell you this. He said, going 2-for-4 every night, it's a hell of a lot easier going through what I'm going through than going 0-for-4. And then he just says it like that. And moves on. And Bob Boone, you know, the valedictorian, kind of the straight arrow bow tie guy, is just sitting there with his mouth open like he doesn't understand. But that was Pete. And those are the little things he taught you. And I thought as a professional athlete and what I've been through and what we go through mentally, That's a pretty damn good lesson right there. It's like we should worry about everything. It's a hell of a lot easier when you're getting a couple hits to deal with life. You deal with life on life's terms. But it's like, man, when I'm getting two hits every night, pretty easy. It's much easier going through it. And it was just quick. It was to the point. But that's how Pete did it. And it was just like, bam, hit you, get out of the room, and it leaves you thinking like, well, that was pretty simple, but he's right on target.
Yeah. You know, Brett, his mental game, to me, I'm convinced, is above anybody that's ever played, above and beyond, just from tricking himself that he feels great when he doesn't, tricking himself to feel like he's swinging good when he doesn't. You know, I remember asking him one time, why do you always hit afterwards? You take Billy DeMars down the cage after the game. And he finally told me, he said, Pete, I wanted to leave the ballpark with a good feeling. I didn't want to feel like I just went 0-for-4. I wanted to leave after I felt good coming out of the cage with Billy D. And little things like that really made a big difference. Like, listen, I know I didn't play a long time in the big leagues. I should have. For whatever reasons, whatever, it is what it is. But when I was older, later in my career, the stuff that I really took from him, it made a difference. You know, quit taking BP. Quit, you know, I'd be at the ballpark at 2. You know, you asked anybody to play with me late in my career, I'd nap from 3 to 5, get in the whirlpool, get in the shower, and go play. My first swings in the game, I remember I had a home run one night. Jay Gibbons, he's standing at home plate. He goes, how in the hell do you do it? I said, it's in the blood. And it just walked away, and he couldn't believe that. But just the little things that he used, you know, hey, if you're slumping, don't say you're in a slump. Tell everybody you feel great. If you struck out, tell everybody that was the best 4 strikeouts you've ever had. If you made an error, say that was the best error you've ever made. And it's like you start putting all these things together. Like if you really dive into Pops, you dive in on the mental side because, hey, you know, we all know one blessed physically, you know, whatever, you know, physical traits, not a 5-tool guy. But when you start working upstairs and just the like, we're like you're talking about, like with your dad, like saying that stuff, just little things, like just and then just walk away. Like I remember, you know, Tim Kirchen always tells a story wrong. You heard the story. You know, I go to pick him up. He gets out of gets to the halfway house and I pick him up.
Oh, this is that was next up on my list. I try to tell the story that you've told me, but I said, I don't do it justice. You got to let Petey tell it. All right. So let's set the stage.
Okay.
Set the stage for me.
Okay. So he served 6 months in prison. He gets out. They release him to a halfway house. So he calls me. He says, hey, come and get me. Pick me up. Let's go have some. Let's go eat some Big Macs. Loves Big Macs. Okay. Yeah. You got it, Pops. Go down. Pick him up. We go get like, I don't know, 4 or 5 Big Macs. We go to this place called the Western Hills Sports Mall. Okay, so it's an indoor tennis place, but in the back, they've converted it to batting cages. Okay, he knows this. I know this. Okay, everybody that's in Cincinnati knows what. Okay, so we're sitting down eating, and he kind of just, hey, what's going on back there? I said, Dad, come on, you know what's going on back there. Let's enjoy our Big Macs. You got to come up. Hey, Pete, how you doing? Whatever. Okay, let's just eat, enjoy our time, whatever. No, hey, what do they got going on back there? Okay. I don't know, Dad. I don't know what's going on. So he gets up and he starts to walk to the back. So now, mind you, there's people that are in there that, like I said, he's our Babe Ruth. So they start pointing. There he is. There's that. There's Pete Rose. He's right there. So he walks into the back. Guy named Jay Sweet is a guy that ran the batting cage in the back. So he grabs an aluminum bat and he gets in the cages. Remember, it's like set up to where the outside ones, it's a wheel machine. The light comes on and then the other light pops up and it spits out, right? So he jumps in the fastball one, 85 mile an hour one. I'm like, this is not going to go good. Here we go here. And there's probably 25, 35 people starting to gather around. And Brett, let me tell you something, man. I've never seen anything like it in my life. He gets in there. He jumps in there. He's got a sweatsuit on, you know, it's zipped up. He got the baggy pants and, you know, he gets it and he hits the stance and this ball spits out and it spits out in a hurry. Sure enough. Quack, quack, line drive right off the machine. Everybody's in shock. While everybody's in shock, he turns around, flips the bat up in the air, the aluminum bat, cling, 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 looks at everybody. Some things never fucking change, do they? And just walks right out of the cage, sits right back down, and crushes 2 more Big Macs. Like it never happened. Brett, this guy was in prison for 6 months. and this is his first swing out of prison. Like, you can't make this up. It's fairy tale. If Jesus throws his best fastball, it's coming right back at God. It's coming right at you. I'm sorry. I mean, but it was, Brett, it was amazing because we've hit off those machines. Like, if you haven't seen them in a while, okay, sure enough, just in the stance. Too bad it wasn't the Twilight stance. You know, remember the Twilight stance at Cincinnati? He'd get that elbow up and Twilight the Sun when he used to play those Twilight doubleheaders. I said, Dad, what was that? Well, that was Shade the Sun. You know, if I'm facing Nolan in the shadows in Cincy, but Brett, it was one of the greatest things I've ever seen happen. And it was done with the flair of just like, I knew this is what was going to happen. Like, I'm talking a linea right back through the middle. Like a linea.